the very controversial host of Piper's Pit, Rowdy Roddy Piper. Yeah. Mr. Piper, I would stick around, but you're going to have to excuse me. I have to go to the men's room. I'll be right back. Thank you.
Oh, going home? Oh, my goodness, that's fine. Cow Palace. You can go to the men's room in the Cow Palace. That's a wonderful name in San Francisco because the Cow Palace is someplace that I would be proud to call my home. Cow Palace is someplace that I'd be proud to bring my gal. Because obviously, if you live in San Francisco and you are going out with gals, obviously they belong in the Cow Palace. I saw one, the only thing she was missing was antlers. She would have been in season, Jack, man. I saw her coming up to me, asking me for a date. I said, man, I'm Hot Rod, are you kidding me? He said, yeah, but aren't you the one that's going to fight Mr. Wonderful? I said, yeah, I'm going to fight Mr. Wonderful. He says, but aren't you the one that's going to fight him with all them wrestlers around the ring? He says, yeah, that's me. He says, don't you know what he's thinking? Of course. Yeah, I know what he's thinking. Absolutely nothing, man. When he's in a room alone, he is all alone. You see, you forget, I rode with him. I know what an idiot this guy is. I know his moves. Oh, yes, he's tough. I know he's tough. You think I ain't, man? I've been around. You know that. I've been there before. He's tough enough to go and bench press 500 pounds. Who really cares, man, huh? Your idea here of a wrestling match here, you got 12 wrestlers around the ring. You got dancing midgets and leathers. You got everything that you've ever wanted in a match. You know why I signed this? Incidentally, it didn't take me 2 months to sign this match. No. It didn't take me 2 months to make up my mind, brother. No. I said, you want me to fight somebody? I'll fight anybody. Who do you want? Just let me fight him. Orndorff says, well, I'm going to take my time. It's going to take me about 2 months. And I'm going to go right now and go to the bathroom and think about it. Now I'm back. Right there. It's your idea of Orndorff's body. You see, that's going to happen after you fight me. There'll be nothing left to you except for old and bald and ugly. You ain't going to be no Hot Rod. You're just going to be somebody that can't keep his bladder empty.
Thank you very much, Roddy Roddy Piper. Back in the Bay Area at the Cow Palace, Thursday night, October the 10th.
Hard to believe that we lost Dusty Rhodes a little while back, but we come to you again with breaking news that happened about 6 hours of recording this on July 31st. No legend, a big WWE legend, we found out today via TMZ, has passed away at the age of 61, Roderick Toombs, a.k.a. Roddy Roddy Piper. Welcome to this special edition of the NAWC. I am Carl Chenier, the producer of the show. As you all know that Nikki Haman is not with us this week. She is out in Indianapolis doing her annual Gen Con trip. For the moment, I have Chris Waters in Florida with me. Hello, sir.
Hello. How's it going tonight besides the obvious?
And across all the way in Australia, we have Mr. Shane Beeman.
Yes, and it's news that's affected even here.
And you saw how big it was when Dusty passed away.
Oh, definitely.
But I think with this, it's even bigger because this was a WWE legend.
And one that got notoriety in the Hollywood as well, and with at least one movie.
They Live.
Yep.
And a few others. Set the timetable for folks not knowing what happened. He died in his sleep, apparently, yesterday, from cardiac arrest, which pretty much is cold for natural causes. He was only 61. If you remember back in 2006, he had battled Hodgkin's lymphoma, but he was cleared cancer-free not after. not long after that, and it's devastating the wrestling community. I mean, he leaves behind his wife Kitty, their four kids, including their son Colton. What can you say, guys?
It was just I was at work when that happened, and when the news broke, and I was just stunned by it. And then I got the official word from WWE app thing, and I was just thinking, holy crap. And I just watched something with him a couple days ago, and to hear this happen,
it was last Friday, actually, with TMZ. He was talking about Hogan.
Well, that wasn't the last thing I watched with him. Nikki and I did a paper review where he returned to the Fed. So
Yes. And we have you on here to kind of tie it, because y'all have been in the 1989 year of wrestling for that show.
Yeah, it's just the guy's so good at talking, and he was just so influential for the wrestling period of that time period, because Hogan may have been the face, but without Piper, I don't think as many people would have come, because a lot of people wanted to see Piper get his ass kicked, pretty much, because he was that good at antagonizing people as a heel, that him being the antagonist was as important as Hogan and Mr. T were at that first WrestleMania, so that was an important thing. And he just had a notoriety and a face that people would remember him no matter what, how long has passed and what he did over the years.
Jane?
It's hard to say. Like, he's affected so many people. I mean, even Dustin Runnels, aka Goldust, went on Twitter this morning and said, and showed a picture of WrestleMania 12, I believe it was.
Yes, 1996.
Yeah, where it was him versus Roddy Piper, and said, "This made Goldust."
Yeah, there was a lot of tweets, and we'll get to a few of them shortly here. If you want to find for most everything kind of lumped together, WrestleChat's been busy all day since about 5 Eastern, I want to say, when this broke out. When I was actually running some errands, and I found a picture on my phone. It was on my Instagram feed. I didn't read the caption that Natty put out, but it was like, heard Roddy Piper, okay. But when I got home and I saw what was going on, I'm like, oh, crap. So that's where I found out. Like I said, go to WrestleChat on their Twitter feed as well, at WrestleChatNet. They kind of lumped everything with all the social media reactions from everybody. Let's go through a few of them real quick here. Most importantly, his son Colton. Just, my father was a great man and my best friend. I will miss him forever and will always try to be the man he raised me to be. That's at Colt Toombs, TOOMBS there. Then, like I said, you have pretty much everybody in the wrestling community talking about it. Hogan put out comments early on TMZ saying that he lost his best friend, which is pretty much true, you know. Like you said, Chris, he played the bad guy for years.
Yeah.
But in real life, they were buddy-buddy.
Just to show how much this is affecting everything, I saw there was a tweet from CM Punk earlier today, too. And even with how he's kind of disenchanted with the wrestling business, it still touches him that he was enough. He cared enough to put that out on the Twitter right now.
Phil Brooks, like, still has his people in WWE he respects. He has never gone on radio and said he hates any wrestler in that business. Well, bar Triple H, bar Paul Levesque, but he was a big fan of Hot Rods, and said that Roddy Piper was one of the people that gave him a purpose. So that's big props right there.
And actually, if you check Punk's Twitter, he put up a rare picture. Punk's holding the U.S. title in the ring with Piper. I'm trying to pinpoint when that was.
I'm guessing it would probably be around the time Zack Ryder held the belt, because I'm guessing that's who's on the turnbuckles with him.
Probably so, because Punk never had that title. So, yeah, it had to be when Zack Ryder had the belt, which would put it about 2011, 2012.
You can partially see his name if you, like, zoom in on the picture saying Zack Ryder on the title.
Yeah, there's also a picture put up by Stephanie from looks years ago. It looked like a Halloween kind of thing.
Yeah, that was one of the first three Saturday Night's main events when Piper did this little Halloween thing with kids were coming to the house, and he would pull little pranks on it, like covering bowling balls as caramel color apples and stuff like that. He'd take the real candy after they fell through the bag. But at the end of it, the kids pulled a prank on them. They had chocolate covered hot peppers on in the bag for them.
WWE didn't break the story until about 8 o'clock or so. I guess they wanted to be sure.
Yeah,
they had put up a tribute page with all the comments, like, and at least in people in their good graces, like Cena, Triple H, Steph, Vince, Stone Cold, Sergeant Slaughter, the Susan G. Komen Foundation even put out a tweet. A nice little drawing.
Go over there, see that.
Oh, wait, I'm looking. Seth Green was the one that drew this. Okay, look at this. Love you always, hashtag Roddy Piper. Thanks for making it okay to be weird. That's at Seth Green. The former Beth Phoenix also put out thoughts. So did the Bellas, Mean Gene. Even John Carpenter. Quote him real quick. I'm devastated by the passing of my friend Roddy Piper. Great wrestler, underrated actor, dear friend, rest in peace, Rod.
I think another one that's really feeling this at the moment is Bruce Pritchard. He's actually put down here that Roddy Piper called him last night.
Yeah, it turned out to be Bruce, yeah.
Yeah, rest in peace, my dear friend. He called me last night and at 9 and left a message. I'll miss you and always love you, Roddy. Hashtag Hot Rod.
Yeah, wow. See, Rigo, Shawn Michaels, Jericho, Cyndi Lauper even put a tweet out. That's how far this reaches all the way out, you know? See, Tori Wilson, Tommy Dreamer, Joey Styles, Sheik. Quote him, I stand behind the Roddy Piper and we both make it to Hall of Fame forever. He my brother. And he was. There's a picture he put out. That was 2006.
Yeah.
Or 5, whatever. R-Truth. I'm going down the list here. Goldust, as you mentioned earlier, with the WrestleMania 12 logo. Let's see. Pee Wee Herman. That was way back.
Yeah. Back before everything with him the first time, but.
And a very nice picture drew by Schomburger has also been put up.
Just to show how far reaching it is, Hideo Itami put one on there. Hashtag Roddy Piper will live in our hearts forever. Thank you, Roddy. Rest in peace.
Mm-hmm. Sasha Banks, JBL, Paige, DDP, of course, was really devastated, I could tell. X-Pac, Tatanka put a tweet out. And Josh Redderick.
Keith David even put one out with it for him and a picture of him together with him.
Yeah. But while we're thinking of Mr. Piper, what is your favorite memory, Chris, in terms of the wrestling?
Well, the wrestling part, it would be, match-wise, it would be, see, I didn't start watching until 94, so a lot of this major stuff was before I started watching officially. There was the backlot brawl with Goldust, obviously, at WrestleMania, but going through watching old videos, wrestling-wise, it's the... It may sound cliche, but it's the pipe. It's two matches. One is cliche, which is the WrestleMania 8 match with Bret. And the other one's a little bit rarer. It's a tag team match. His opponents were Harley Race when he was doing the Kingdom gimmick and Paul Orndorff when he turned again. And he teamed up with Hulk Hogan. And it was surreal at the time, probably, to see them teaming up, first of all. And every time they made a tag, they just stared at each other, first of all, and they just tentatively reached out their hands to tag. So I just liked seeing that classic match. Other than that, this, for a special place for Piper in my part, I was at a SmackDown one time live, and there was a Piper's Pit on there. It was the night Piper's guests were JBL, Jillian Hall, and the Boogeyman. And that was the one where the Boogeyman ate Jillian's facial apparatus off her face. And then Piper, and after they leave the ring, Boogeyman looks at Piper, and Piper's doing a hail, doing a prayer in the corner so Boogeyman doesn't do anything to him. So it's just kind of a fun memory I'll always have about that.
How about you, Shane?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever going to forget 1984 Piper's Pit with Jimmy Superfly Snuka and the infamous moment still talked about 31 years later. Jimmy Snuka getting hit over the head with a coconut
and knocking down the set in the same time.
Yes. But my favorite also any Piper's Pit that he did were always great. My favorite, like most recent one of his, or at least in the early 2000s, was when he restarted his feud up with Hulk Hogan, or should I say Mr. America at the time. That was just friggin' hilarious.
2003, yeah. Yeah, here, I'll go way back here with a match. Yeah, it was pretty bloody, way before our time, boys. go all the way back in the NWA days, the infamous dog collar match with Greg the Hammer Valentine back at Starrcade 83.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a bloodbath. Whew. And looking at his professional record, he really didn't have any main matches in his career, according to this. At least not on big house shows and all.
Now, Piper was more like a main attraction kind of guy. He would only do a few matches here and there from what I could tell. And if you look at his record, honestly, he also hasn't had a lot of pin or submission losses on it either. So,
yeah, I'm looking at, getting this from profightdb.com. He also had a match against Mr. Wonderful back in 85 after Mania. At MSG.
Yeah.
Where he lost by DQ. Let's see what else we got here. He faced Hogan, of course, on the Wrestling Classic for the title and lost by DQ. And, of course, WrestleMania 2 with Mr. T in the boxing versus wrestling match. You brought up Saturday night's main event. Don't forget 86. He beat Sheik.
Yeah. In a very short match.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny how that happened. Piper was attacked earlier because he was feuding with Adrian Adonis at the time.
Yeah, in 87, right. The hair versus hair match.
Yeah. Well, this was the build-up to that. And he came out earlier. Adonis attacked him. He attacked Adonis back with a crutch. And then later in the night, apparently Pedro Morales was going to replace Piper. Piper came out and said, "No, I'm fighting him." And then he just quickly beats the Sheik.
Looking here, he also had a few battles with Rick Rude back in 1989. At a few of the MSG shows. His later career, of course, you know, he became more of a commentator, didn't wrestle much.
At least until WCW came around.
Yeah. Let's see here. His last official WWE match before going to WCW, of course, we talked about, was against Goldust at WrestleMania 12.
Yep. And before that, I think it was the Jerry Lawler match at King of the Ring 94.
Yeah, he sure did. You're right.
Because I remember that, because I remember the build to that, and they had some skinny guy parodying Piper, and then at the end he turned on Jerry and decided with Piper.
Yeah, and before that, actually looking here, don't forget WrestleMania 8 with Bret Hart.
Like I said, that's one of Piper's rare pinfall or submission losses at that time period.
Mm-hmm. Then, of course, the sporadic WCW stuff. One I do remember, of course, is the tag match in 97 at Great American Bash with Hall and Nash against him and Flair for the tag titles.
A hint of things that would come.
Yes, and you would enter a program with Flair for a brief time. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, the matches with Hogan. The two clean wins, of course, Starrcade 96 and Havoc 97. His last official match was back in 2011 at a JCW event with Bob Orton Jr. tagging up against Mick Foley and Terry Funk, oddly enough. And his last WWE match was back in 2011, was against The Miz, of course, if you remember that.
Mm.
So
I try not to remember much with The Miz. But
true. The most forgettable champion ever, no.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. Wait till later on the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm tearing that one a new asshole.
If we get to it, yeah. But, yeah, I'm sure more is going to be talked about Mr. Piper in the coming weeks. I don't want to be eerie, but honestly, who's next? Because you know these things come in threes.
Well, Pat, well, have, I was going to say, hasn't the three already happened? We had Savage, Dusty, and now Piper.
But Savage was years ago, and Warrior was between that anyway.
Yeah, I'm thinking of more of like current legends. Like, I'll be honest, I'm surprised Ric Flair's still alive. I mean, I hate saying that.
Yeah, the main ones that I'm surprised are still around are Flair because of his lifestyle, Jake because of his lifestyle.
Hogan.
Yeah, and that was the third one I was saying because of everything he did to it.
Jake Roberts has been on the mend with his DDP yoga. The one that I think we can all absolutely agree, we're surprised is still alive, Scott Hall.
Yes.
Yeah, of course, he recently had a setback himself.
Yeah, and before people jump on me, that's not a knock on Scott Hall, but it's like you've got to be perfectly honest with yourselves. That man just keeps falling off the bandwagon.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I hate to say it, but really, since we've been surprised about who goes and everything, I'm going to say it. I have a weird feeling in my gut it's going to be Vince that goes next.
Oh,
can you imagine how crazy that'll be when that happens?
I have a funny feeling the vultures will be swooping at that point.
What else can we say? In a matter of, 6-7 weeks, we've lost another legend. So, quick moment of silence, and we'll move on quickly to something else that happened that was going to be the main focus of the show. In honor of Mr. Roderick Toombs, a.k.a. Roddy Piper. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to the other big story, which, was, like I said, was going to be the main focus. Going back to Raw, had a match with Seth Rollins and John Cena. Kind of a weird twist to this. Before we get to what actually happened, they put Cena's U.S. title on the line instead of the WWE World Heavyweight title. That was interesting.
See, I kind of like when they decide to finally do something a little surprising like that, because I remember, even though the match was nothing and it just was setting up for a sick spot.
You guys really found it surprising? I thought it was a bit predictable, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, I only saw bits and pieces of the show and read mostly reports because I was working on that Monday.
You had Seth Rollins come out beginning of Raw and start with Stephanie and Triple H and start bragging about how how he did what he said he was going to do and walk out of Battleground with the WWE Championship and yada yada yada. Cena comes out and says, "Well, you've just proven that you're nothing but a coward." And he's like, "I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the authority," and saying that tonight we should have the WWE Championship on the line here on Raw. I'm like, I can see where this is going. As soon as Stephanie said no, I knew where this was going. I'm like, yep, okay, US title on the line tonight. And sure enough, we got up to the main event. But what I didn't see coming was Cena's grotesque face.
Yeah, go back to a spot in the match. Seth Rollins goes for a high knee on Cena right on his nose.
And
ow.
And it was not pretty at the end.
and guys, that hurt me when I looked. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is not fake. He had a broken nose after this match, and he had to have emergency surgery to fix it that broke yesterday.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's put it to you this way. Cena, at the end of this match, looked like he had gone 12 rounds with Joe Frazier. that's putting it bluntly.
If you would have saw how his nose was, ow. Man.
If you were a Cena hater, even you would have been like, oh, that's just messed up.
But, of course, we all know the Super Cena moniker and all. You think this keeps him out of SummerSlam?
Hard to say. The report says a few weeks, but I don't know if they were reporting in real people time or Cena time recovery.
Yeah. You know, this history with the, of course, Rumble. The pec muscle, the neck.
Rumble 08's returned.
Yep.
But if he did miss this pay-per-view, it would not be the first time it seemed like he was going to be part of a pay-per-view and wasn't. What I'm thinking of was, I believe it was Hell in a Cell, with when it seemed like he was going to be facing CM Punk for the title again. But instead they did the first Ryback Punk match.
Yeah, because that was when Batista dropped him on his head.
Yeah, the weird-looking powerbomb.
Right.
So yeah, out for several weeks. And like I said, on Cena time, he'll be back somehow. They were trying to, I think, build up Rollins and Cena for the title.
If Cena is out though, what would that leave for a WrestleMania, a SummerSlam main event? Especially since SummerSlam is now 4 hours long.
Well, you know they're building Brock and Taker as the main event.
Well, yeah,
on the promotions, of course.
Okay, for the title match.
Oh, yeah.
For the title match, well, you've got Ambrose and Reigns involved in the whole Wyatt family thing, so they're out of the picture. Dolph Ziggler's going to be involved with Rusev and that, so that's he's out of the picture. Cesaro's doing a thing with Owens, so they're both out of the picture. So, really, and Sheamus is reversing Randy Orton. So, really, all it leaves is, and this is going to be a long-ass stretch, but unless they just keep it, keep the tag team match with Ambrose and Reigns against the Wyatt family, is that, and have Sting come in and...
Oh, we'll get to Sting in a second here, because I don't know about that.
Well, I don't know. I'm hearing he's in the friggin' best shape he's been in years, and that's pretty much the same thing you can say about Taker as well.
Well, with my notes here, and I'll get to these notes in a second because I gotta praise Jason. He does a damn fine job coming up with the notes for each show every week. But now with the Roddy Piper thing, some of these things are going to have to be left out. Sorry to say, but you brought up Sting. Shane, hearing the reports that he's going to still be over there at in New York City for the weekend, but might not be used in a ring at all.
Well, a lot of people are not happy about that. They're saying it's a very big mistake to be doing that, especially when you've got Taker versus Brock, so it's going to have Taker get momentum with Sting for WrestleMania.
Yeah, we just... If they are going to do anything with Taker and Sting, which I've heard rumors either way, then they have to do something with Sting soon because all we have with him is the one WrestleMania match which he lost. And that's not going to be good for a build for a pay-per-view.
It could be under a deal where he just does like major appearances at cons and whatever other stuff.
Yeah.
He doesn't really necessarily have to wrestle. They could build off his character and make money that way.
Yeah, but on a personal level, I'd still like him to have at least one win in the WWE, just personally. But
right. But speaking of SummerSlam, I'm going all the way down on Jason's list here. Talk about the little raffle they do. They call it the SummerSlam Experience with Triple H. And the grand prize, get ready for this, guys. Winner will receive two tickets to the following shows being held at the Barclays Center. Your choices are NXT TakeOver on the 22nd, SummerSlam on the 23rd, Raw after that on the 24th. The winner, I guess, will also participate in a Pizza Tour Legends, a breakfast slam session with superstars, an exclusive reception with some superstars prior to the event, of course, at SummerSlam. Travel accommodations for the winner and a guest will include round-trip airfare and subway transportation to TakeOver, SummerSlam, and Raw, plus a three-night stay in a Times Square area hotel in New York City proper.
Okay, I've got to sign up for this thing.
What's that?
I said I got to sign up to enter this contest.
Well, it gets better, actually. Winner also gets a signed WWE title belt, two merchandise packages, and they also be, check this out, an award of cash price in the amount of $2,094.75 to mitigate the winner's tax liability that results from winning the raffle. It included the taxes.
Well, too bad I'm Australian. Can't join. Damn it.
I'll tell you what, Shane, if I win, I'll invite you, all right?
I'm actually a bit ticked off because now with this whole Hogan scandal happened, friggin' Shawn Michaels will be the GM for the Australian event. I'm like, I'm pissed off. I want to see Michaels.
Yeah, we'll get to Hogan shortly. There's something new with that situation.
Yeah, that whole ugly thing.
Yeah, poor Jason's missing everything. he opted to go for Ring of Honor show instead.
Yeah, I just
Hey, hang on. Well, if it's not really, there's no offense to the show, but really, hard choice here. Would you rather go watch ROH, which has some of the hottest action going at the moment, or would you come here and talk about the unfortunate passing of Roddy Piper?
That's true. And the ROH event is the same night as NXT, so
yeah.
No choice, though. I don't know.
No offense to the ROH guys, but just because I want to say I saw Jushin Thunder Liger live, I would have gone to the NXT show.
Yeah, that's probably the main reason to go. let's see.
Well, that and possibly Bayley finally winning the title, but that's a personal thing for me.
That mark my words, that is going to happen. And then hopefully they don't keep her there that much longer. Get her back up there and get her on the main roster finally.
See, I'm going to go off a tangent here. I'm sorry to mess up the notes and everything for that.
All right, go ahead. But
as much as it would be good to see Bayley on the main roster and have more people get to know her and everything, I think they should actually keep her down there for a little bit because now that you've gotten Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch out of NXT onto the main roster, you don't have really that many names, no offense to most of the other girls there, on NXT. So you need someone to carry the torch for a little bit. I would say keep her with the title for a good while. Have built up the rest of their new women's talent, or in Emma's case, rebuild. And then once they're ready, have her lose the title and then get called up.
Yeah, sorry, but think about this for a second. Not only that, but they've also brought up their NXT women's champion, Sasha Banks. So if you bring Bayley into it, you're leaving NXT to Eva Marie. No! No!
Yeah, God she's forbid. As, yeah, you got a point there, Shane.
She's not as bad as she used to be. But
she's not. Okay, look. I give Eva Marie all the credit in the world, okay? Yes, darling, you have got 100 times better than what you were before. But you're still not up to the Bella or even the Alicia Fox standard at the moment. Because you're still stuffing up things. I did watch the match where she faced fellow Australian Cassie.
I don't know a lot about her, but I like Cassie already because
she was over here. She was Australian wrestler Casey Cassidy. She did a lot of events in New South Wales and Queensland and yada yada. I watched the match. I'll admit, Eva Marie's gotten better, but I could still pick out things where I'm like, oh, that was. If I was a Botchamania person, I'd be like, yeah, botching. But into Botchamania you go.
Yeah, it's going to take her a while, probably.
But that's what NXT is supposed to be for. It's a developmental, so she's got time to improve.
Yeah, but you notice that Eva Marie's been more used as a like eye candy elsewhere.
Yeah, true.
They're using Eva Marie more for marketing, and I think that's I think she knows that.
I mean, for crying out loud, she's got the same agent now that The Rock does.
I thought that agent could recognize talent, not.
Oh.
Here's the thing. No, that wasn't a knock against Dwayne. That wasn't a knock against Dwayne. That was a knock against Eva Marie because it's like, well, hang on, you've got great talent like The Rock, and then you went to Eva Marie. I thought you had an eye for talent. You stuffed up. What are you doing?
With The Rock, he recognized the talent that is normal. With Eva Marie, he recognized the talent in the anime sense.
Yeah.
No, he recognized the talent in the chest area, but anyways.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
That's what I meant, actually, because...
There you go.
It's a whole... It's a Sailor Moon dub joke from the Americas.
I got you there.
Yes, I got you, Chris. Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Yes, instead of Red Nation, it's Tata Nation. Tata! Anyway.
All for now. Well, in this story, moving on now. You brought up Hogan and the update with the Gawker situation. We do have news to talk about there. There's a date set for a trial there in Florida, March 17th of next year. And the judge in the case said she would wait to rule out an emergency motion by Hogan's attorneys seeking additional discovery to determine who leaked the sealed material used in a National Enquirer report about Hogan using racial and homophobic slurs. Yeah, you're screwed, pal.
Terry, you know, when they say don't screw your best friend's wife, they say it for a reason.
Yeah, but this is Bubba the Unsposed Wife, so even with what Hogan said, that's an improvement.
That's true. It could be worse. He could still be hanging out with Dennis Rodman, of all things, in his lifestyle.
Mean Rodman hasn't gone back to his home planet yet?
No, I think the planet of douchebag blew up. I don't know. Just
that must be the same plan as LeBron James, but that's another story in for another.
Oh, hey, don't pick on the star of the upcoming Space Jam 2, apparently.
What a joke. But yeah, more in this situation, of course, coming down the pike. I think Hogan's screwed.
But with the trial happening in Florida, I wonder if I'm going to have to be called for jury duty on that.
What county? Pinellas County? Is that where you are?
No, I don't think I'm anywhere near there. I'm in the west coast of Florida, which is...
Help me with my geography there. Is that where Tampa is?
I'm about an hour from Tampa. So let me... How do you spell this place?
Pinellas County. Pinellas, I think. Let's see. Oh, I know. P-I-N-E-L-L-A-S. I'm sorry.
P-I-E.
It's Clearwater. That's what it is.
And
I got it.
Yeah, well, I'm in Naples, Florida, so I don't know how far away that is.
It's just right outside of Tampa, right on the Gulf.
Okay, so I'm still about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from there. So probably not for me.
So pretty much, this is going to be in Clearwater. Okay. All right. Yeah, sorry, Jason. We're kind of moving back and forth on your notes, but we're going to actually go back to Raw now real fast. As we mentioned, SummerSlam's now a four-hour show, as announced by Trips. We talked about John Cena. Something else happened to a superstar, or a diva in this case. Alicia Fox, out with a concussion. This apparently happened during one of the tag matches with, help me out, Chris.
It was Alicia and Nikki versus Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I looked at it and I'm like, I'm looking at the WWE superstars. I'm like, the only two that could probably make a SummerSlam caliber match with Seth Rollins at this point is Triple H or Jericho. Unless you brought up Bella for a one night appearance and did champion versus champion.
Yeah, Jericho and Rollins actually would be a good match.
The only other thing I could think of is they could just combine three feuds into one and just
put. Well, they're going to have to do something.
Yeah, they could put Owens, Cesaro, Orton, and Sheamus in with Rollins and make it like a five-person something.
I don't think Orton's going to defend. I mean, not Orton. I don't think Rollins is going to defend his title. I don't see a title match per se right now because they wanted to go with Rollins Cena, and if Cena is legitimately hurt and has been operated on, you know, remember this is the guy who no-sold the neck injury. Okay, right.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier.
Yep.
So, you know, by the way, nice to have you here, Carl.
Yeah, but this is Jason Block, of course, the guy I've been praising the last, half hour. He's still putting notes.
Oh, thank you. Well,
I've been jumping around because of this whole day.
Can I give my 2 cents?
Yes.
If that's okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, look, Piper is one of those guys who never was a superstar in the, as we joke around, the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. However, every wrestler owes his or her existence to him in one way or another. Okay? Because, number one, without him, there would be no wrestling talk show. The Piper's Pit was the first one that succeeded and one that went mainstream with the infamous Snuka getting hit in the head with a coconut. Okay? Right? Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. He also, Piper's Pit also went mainstream in WrestleMania 5 with the Morton Downey Jr. incident. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. We forgot to talk about that, Chris.
Okay. Yeah, Nikki and I just did the just recently recorded that paper review. So.
Now remember Morton. For those who are not old enough to remember who Morton Downey Jr. is, Morton Downey Jr. was a extremely right wing conservative talk show host before the people like Rush Limbaugh and Mark Levin and Sean Hannity were cool. So to capitalize on his fame, because he went national, they put him in a Piper's Pit segment with him, and Piper didn't want him to smoke. So at the end, Piper hit him with a fire extinguisher, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, because Downey was notorious for smoking, even on his TV show back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's what actually killed him, if you remember correctly.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
But remember, Piper was not necessarily a great wrestler, but he was a great storyteller. Remember, he was also involved in the first WrestleMania with Hulk Hogan against Mr. T and Paul Orndorff. Okay? I don't know if you guys talked about They Live. Okay? Which
I brought it up earlier, yeah.
Which is the movie that made him into a crossover star. Piper was never in that echelon of stuff, but put it to you this way. Dean Ambrose is shedding a tear right now because he is the incarnation of Roddy Piper right now. Okay. It's one of those things that this is sad because Piper, again, was one of the biggest stars of the 80s. You know, Hogan, Piper, Flair, pretty much him, them. Okay. You know, every time, even up until recently, unless when you wanted to have a talk show segment with two stars that had to go on to each other, what did they do? They made a Piper's Pit. Right?
Yeah. And as like I mentioned earlier, you saw the gaps in between his matches in his career. He didn't have very many at all.
No. I mean, if you stop and think about it, actually, Piper's Pit was also a launching platform for the Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant feud.
That's true.
It was. It's actually what set up that match at WrestleMania 3.
Exactly. Again, Piper was the guy. Piper was, as Reggie Jackson would say, the straw that stirred the drink. He was a he was a shit stirrer, to be lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. Okay. He wasn't the greatest wrestler in the world, but his personality was nuclear white hot. Nuclear white hot. And remember, he kept doing indies. He was in WCW for a while. Mm-hmm. Fought Hogan there too.
Three times on a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And went on a Nitro in a schmoz.
Well, it's Nitro in that time period. What do you expect?
Back when Flair was the on-screen president. Mm-hmm.
Right. But again, this is a bad year for wrestling legends. And two of the people who legitimately influenced everybody in the business in Dusty Rhodes and him. The question is, I mean, put it to you this way. I know WWE has it, but have they discussed what they're going to do yet?
They have not. Midnight on the Eastern time zone, close to. But let me ask you this, Jason. I asked this to Shane and Chris earlier. I hate it to be kind of eerie with this, but who's next to go?
I don't want to go there, to be honest. It's not good to wish bad juju on people.
And it's not the intent, but you know, with some of these, the history of some of these legends, of course, you never know when their body's going to give out.
No, you don't. So I'm just going to say, I hope we don't lose any more this year. How's that?
Yeah,
that's a fairer thing. But getting back to the Rollins Cena thing, first of all, Rollins hit Cena really hard. Oh my God! Wow.
Yeah, cover that too. Yeah. That, ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. Wade Barrett was in. Barrett was in the back looking at it. That damn, that hurts.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we talked about.
Well, I was asked, did you talk about the potential surgery that they haven't confirmed that though?
Yeah, we have.
Oh, you have.
We have. Yep. We've been kind of like I said, skipping around now with this Piper story.
Okay. No worries.
I'll let you know where we are actually in a second. Before I brought you in here, we were on Alicia Fox with the concussion.
Oh boy. Yeah, well, again, I don't mean to leave her anything, but she's the least important member of the Bella team, to be honest. I don't mean it to be mean, but if she's out a couple of weeks just to make her, you know, and she's ready for healthy for SummerSlam, let it be.
Yeah, because you know they're going to do something big for that. They're trying to, at least. But
I'm guessing a 9-person triple threat tag. That's my guess.
That's interesting. We'll keep an eye on that. And besides, if you watch Total Divas, you know that Alicia and Paige are BFFs off and on. But Jason, Jason, I'm going to stay in the Divas division and talk about another diva who decided to say, Hasta luego.
That would be Layla L. And she retired after 9 years. And remember, I believe it was she. Was she the winner, or was she selected from?
She was the winner in 2006.
2006, and she made a lot of her 9 years. You know, I mean, the last two, you really can't really tell because she was out with two leg injuries.
Yeah, sadly.
You know, the last was 2 to 3 years, to be honest.
Yeah, more like three.
And she lost her mother, I believe, in that time period as well.
Yeah, she did.
But from 06 to 2012, she was up there.
Was with Michelle McCool, of course.
Mrs. Undertaker, yes.
Yeah, Mrs. Undertaker. Who the hell do you think you are, messing with my woman?
No, but I will tell you that. The bullying angle with what was it? Piggy James, if you remember, Piggy James.
Oh God, yeah.
But remember, Lake Hall. They were very good. They were really good together.
They were. You're right, Jay.
I mean, again, she did not work better as a single. She worked better with people. You know.
Who could forget the split women's championship thing?
That was
beautiful. Oh.
That was awesome. Those two having a tug of war in front of Teddy Long, going, "No, it's my title. It's my title." It breaks it off. Oh, look, now it's flawless. It's like, oh.
Yeah. So she's what, 37, 38? So yeah.
I'll just say Ricky Ortiz is a lucky man.
Oh yeah. Yes. Oh yeah.
Oh, you bastard!
And they just got married too.
No, they're engaged.
Or they're engaged, rather. I'm sorry. Yes. But best of luck in your future.
Absolutely. Yes, and thank you for what you did. Good stuff.
Thank you for what you did, and sorry that the team that with you and Summer Rae, as fun as it was, didn't last longer.
Yeah. Okay, do a quick reset, and then we'll move on to the last top stories of the week. This is the NAWC. Nikki, as I said earlier, is out because she is in Indy doing the Gen Con thing. My name is Carl Chenier. I have Chris Waters with me. We have Shane Beeman, and we have Jason Block jumping in about midway. Now, we have went through the Triple H raffle that you sent me. We went through Hogan. We did not get to the financials yet.
Oh, yeah, which, by the way, WWE is having... They are so happy right now.
Jason, okay. It's all yours.
Okay, so here we go. And I'm going to give this to you, and I want to throw these numbers out to you, and I want to give you some influence, okay? Now try this on for size. This number blew me away, okay? The network revenue reached a record $131 million on a trailing 12-month basis that exceeded the company's annual pay-per-view revenue in every calendar year through 2014. Oh, okay. Now, Shane, you understand how big that is, right?
Oh, I think Vince is in his office right now going, "We're in the money."
Well, no, that basically says that the network is an absolute success. Okay, try this. During this second quarter 2015, the segment revenue increased 57% on a pro forma basis. Okay, now network had 1.156 million paid subscribers and averaged over 1.21 paid during the quarter. We were representing an 83% increase from the prior quarter and a 31% increase from the first quarter 2015 average. Okay, try this. Also, 75 hours of original content and video on demand library. Try this, 3,300 hours. Okay, now, Beast from the East, which was the live event, which I hope everyone watched. If not, watch it again. Has become the network's most watched program to date. And thank you to everyone who watched that. I'll ask you, Chris, and then you, Cole. What do you think? There better be more international specials after this.
Well, if not international specials, they'll at least probably do some more. What were going to be house shows taped for the crowd, because from what I've seen, Lesnar is apparently going to be doing another house show appearance. So you know they're
going to. Yes, he's going to do one here in New York. Yeah.
You know for sure that they're going to tape that one.
They're going to have to, yeah.
Okay. The new they're going to do 180 hours of original content, including a new reality show following the stars of NXT. Hell yeah. Okay.
That ought to be interesting.
A new series called Table for Three, which is probably like My Dinner With, you understand? You know, like,
yeah.
Or Smooth Moves, if you watch it on MSG. A studio show highlighting current events in the WWE, and new episodes of WWE 24, the WWE List, the Stone Cold Podcast, which, by the way, I don't know if you remember this, or you know he's going to have Paige on this coming Monday. Do you know who his guest was supposed to be that Monday? One Mr. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sorry, Terry.
Yeah, well, we've got expansions to India, China, Germany, Japan, Thailand. Of course, good markets to expand to. That's why they have, believe it or not, that's why they have not fired the great Khali, if I'm not mistaken.
Or even was an ambassador, yeah.
Pretty much, okay. Even though live events are down, that's because the time from 26 million to 40 million, that's only because WrestleMania was in quarter one, not quarter two, okay?
Yeah, it was on the 50th, I think, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Television revenue has increased by about $10 million. That's because the escalation of the rights fees and Tough Enough. Now, get this, subscribers, there was 1.227 million with 939,000 in the U.S. and 217 in the rest of the world. If the growth continues, I expect, and I'll ask you guys, do you expect to see a million in the U.S. alone? Do you think that, or do you think it's going to be expanded more internationally?
Eventually.
What do you see? But not now.
No.
It's kind of a tricky thing to tell, because I also heard news. Some people might just be getting the networks just to get the pay-per-views cheaper.
Oh, yeah, I got to bring that up, too. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the recent announcement that they might be looking into possibly just charging per watch, I guess. I don't know. But
PPV.
Yeah, per PPV. But I'm not sure if it's like a one-time watch or a certain time period or
however. I don't know.
But $4.99 for just a pay-per-view, so there might be some people who just switch to that for all the time. They would be stupid to, if you ask me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Shane. Yeah, there's even though, which is amazing, they still get 264,000 pay-per-view buys between WrestleMania, what was it, Royal Rumble. What was the February pay-per-view?
Fastlane.
Yes. Okay. Which is okay. And
easy when it was No Way Out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
3.5 million in quarter two alone on pay-per-view revenue. That's crazy talk. Okay. And right now, as we speak, I'm going to look at the WWE stock numbers at this point.
Yeah, you are a stock expert, of course.
Because WWE was up huge stock-wise.
Yeah, actually, it rebounded WWE after the whole Hogan price. Crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. It's up to 1957. Okay.
Yep.
The high was $20 a share. Okay.
Yeah, that is pretty high for them.
Yeah, exactly. And the previous close was 1936. I think they may hit $20 a share. Okay. It was. Believe it or not, the high was 2050. That's crazy. They really love their. And believe me, these are awesome numbers. It's showing. Now, let me ask you, Carl.
Yeah.
This is showing the naysayers to the network wrong, big time. Isn't it?
It's a work in progress, is what it is.
You still think so?
Well, with the way these numbers look to me, they're getting better, but they still got some time. They still got some leaps and bounds to cross, I think, before they're really satisfied.
Okay.
But yeah, looking at the revenue that you put here, 52.1 million this year so far, and it's 43.8.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see.
International growth, yeah, you mentioned that.
Here's this. 500 million social media followers across all global platforms.
Yeah. They're big on that.
Yep, and international revenue increased by 38%. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, here's the thing. We're going to see more of, A, those crazy trips that the WWE is going to do. They're going to do. There's going to be more international shows that we're going
to
see.
Do you happen to know offhand where their next international tour is going to be?
I will check it out as you talk about it.
I think it's England coming up in November. That's what they usually do.
Well, let me take a look and see as we speak, because right now as we speak, okay.
Live research, everybody.
Yeah, live research. Here we go. They're in Texas, San Antonio. Oh, it's the first or next three international shows are in Australia next week.
Oh yeah, that was it. I'm sorry.
Shane
brought that up earlier.
Right, they're doing a quick jaunt into Australia. At least some of them are for a couple of days. Shawn Michaels, by the way, has replaced Hulk Hogan as the general manager on the tour.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm.
And
it's
also,
like, oh shit.
Well. Hey, look, he's just got a movie deal with WWE. So
yeah, you're right.
To do a faith-based film, so he's like, can you go to Australia for a couple of days? Eh, sure, no problem. And then after that international tour, we are going to see, there's all the SummerSlam panels, there's TakeOver. By the way, I love the Triple H Rational. I hope people buy it. I'm going to do $10. I'm going to go to August 29th, they're in Puerto Rico.
Count that as a U.S. show.
Yeah, it is a U.S. show. And of course, Canada. You're talking like Mexico or anything like that.
Or England, yeah.
You are England like that.
You could bet one of those shows is going to be another network special. It's got to be later in the year.
Okay. I don't know what.
That's what I'm thinking. They're going to do another network special like Beast in the East.
Well, okay. Then their next international weekend is in October. 16th, 17th, and 18th in Mexico.
Oh, yeah, they're going to definitely do one down there. Okay.
Okay, so
they have to.
That would be a great one. And then they're doing early November is another European tour from November 4th to November, through November 15th or 14th.
Yeah, they're doing some TVs down there too.
Yeah, so in other words, they've got a couple of trips planned in August, September, and November. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, August, October, and November. But I don't know. They might increase one. They might do one or two more. Don't you think? I mean, if they want to expand it internationally,
they have to do one in Mexico at least. They got to.
Well, you're
trying to get another network special, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You try to get that market going again. I mean, you really don't have any Latino stars anymore. They're gone.
Well, the Lucha Dragons are.
Yeah, but we saw the... oh, Vince is souring on them. They're deep pushing and all that crap.
No, I don't think so. I think It's going to be very interesting to see where they go with it internationally. But now let me ask you this.
Yes.
And I'll ask you and Chris this. What do you think they should do outside of international specials and house shows to add to the network? Do you think there should be more of a news-based show, that type of thing? You know what I mean?
Like a studio type of show?
I wouldn't
something
mind,
like that.
I wouldn't mind, and I've only seen clips here and there of it, if they did a type of show similar to the old primetime wrestling where you had Vince hosting and then you had two faces and two heels on the side of the table going over various things that were going on in wrestling at the time. And the only reason I've seen clips of that is because that's when Mr. Perfect turned face. But
I am 1992.
Yep. But I wouldn't mind if the network did something like that along the lines. Other than that, not much else I can think of they can do, because I'm one of the few that actually likes Swerved, that a little bit of it I've watched.
I know one thing I wish they would do and get it over with, add more Nitro.
Oh, yeah, they could always do that. Plenty of room now that they took Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling off of there.
Yeah. Didn't they add more Attitude Era episodes of Raw recently, too, Jay?
Could be, yeah.
And you did. And then I think you mentioned in the new content a potential studio show.
Yeah, I mean, again, but the whole thing is that the network has to be the go-to place for WWE material. Okay.
Yeah.
And the thing is that they're, I would say, about 70% there. Would that be a good number? 70%.
Yeah,
there?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But they've got to make it stuff, because Swerved is okay, Culture Shock is okay. Because the thing is that the network is successful for, I think, a few reasons. One, the video on demand library. Two, yeah. NXT by far. Okay, NXT is, and of course the cheaper pay per views. Okay, but I also like the fact that they've also doing the free month, and then they hook you, which is what you're supposed to do. They should have done that from the beginning, don't you think? I mean, because yeah. the free month and the hook is what Netflix used to do all the time, and I don't know if they still do it.
No, they don't. They're trying to raise their rates up, I think.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, right? You know, that's all it is.
Because of newer programming getting made, including the Full House reboot coming next year.
Okay.
Here's a question I have for you, Jay.
Okay.
What other content would you like to see added to the network besides what we saw in the notes here? There's also supposed to be a 20th anniversary of Nitro special, I think. Austin McMahon special.
What? Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I would also love to see more of a. You remember the show Livewire? Oh no, I'm sorry. Confidential. Confidential.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, where they went into the behind the scenes stuff. I mean, real stuff. You know, like I loved stories like that. You know, the Confidential was very good. Other, you know, things like that.
I remember the Confidential with they did the story on the Bret Hart Shawn Michaels match, of course, where Shawn Michaels finally admitted to knowing about the thing.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see more lives, like breaking news stuff, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, you know, we'll see. We'll see what they're doing. But I am very glad that our financials are. And by the way, to all the number threes, is like, oh, I'm going to cancel the network because I don't like the way things are going. No. You know, please.
Stay in the basement, assholes.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm dead serious, because it's not helping. It's not working. You know, and by the way, when they get James Storm from TNA to come to the WWE, which they will, you never know.
Get to that shortly.
I'm sorry?
So we'll get to TNA shortly.
We'll get to TNA shortly. But again, good stuff with the financials. I hope they continue to do well. I really do. And I think I never answered this question. What do you think of SummerSlam going to 4 hours? I think it's a good idea. I think it's not bad, as long as they give us the content and the matches for it.
But right now, with this whole Cena nose thing, I don't know. You have to, like, I think Shane mentioned earlier, maybe mix and match some of these feuds.
Yeah. Like I said, make it a five-person match with Orton, Sheamus, Owens, Cesaro, and Rollins, if you're going to do anything with the title.
something. Yeah, I don't know.
Something. We'll see.
But there is one bit of WWE that's actually soured on me that we do have to get to, Jay.
Oh, what's that?
Going down to wherever the hell Full Sail is.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You said you wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, and there's a report that's not in your... There's a report that's not in your notes that I'd like to bring up real quick. But a little recap of this whole Hulk Hogan crap. They had to move Miz from hosting Tough Talk into a judge spot, which I know you have listed rotating, but I think that's permanent, to be honest. Especially after this week.
Okay.
Byron Saxton, God bless him, but dude, you need work.
No, well, according to our esteemed host, Nikki, he needs to work with someone, not alone. If you understand what I mean.
Yeah, and...
That
was a train wreck. I'm sorry. But yeah, there was a little situation. Like I said, Miz was made a judge. Final three this week was Mata, ZZ, and I believe Amanda, right?
Think so. Let me take a look.
None of them used their saves up to this point, but all of a sudden Miz comes in. Oh, I'm going to save Amanda because she's looking at diva and pretty girl. Oh, Paige went into Miz like a... Whew. And I don't think that was staged either, guys. Paige was mad. So the second person in the middle was the one to be eliminated. Unfortunately, that was Mata.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find this report on our partners, WrestleChat.net, about ZZ. And I hate to say I have to agree with it. Time for him to go.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the guy personally. Right. He's only 19. But he's not getting any better at all. Let me see if I can find that report real fast. Just had it. Unless they took it down. Oh, here we go. Report is easy. Eliminated this week. Earlier this week, we posted. Yeah, they apparently want them gone this week. And fans pretty much didn't buy them into the bullshit, so... I guess that was their F you to them. I don't know. But Jay, if you're there. Chris, I'll ask you, who do you think's going to end up winning Tough Enough after it's all said and done?
Honestly, because of work and other commitments, I haven't actually been following Tough Enough, I hate to say.
It seems to me they're trying to push Tanner into winning it. Mm. That's that cocky brass... guy who's been winning most of the challenges.
Honestly, the only thing I followed it Tough Enough is that USA was unhappy with them for a little bit, and that was before the Hogan thing.
Yeah.
But really, it's kind of weird. Except for John Morrison, all the Tough Enough winners have not really amounted to too much out there. Like Maven had a hardcore title runs, and that was about it for him. Nydia didn't do that much except be Jamie Noble's love interest for a while.
Yeah, Maven's main problem was his pill addiction.
Yeah.
Linda Miles.
Linda Miles, her biggest thing was getting squished by Rikishi.
Yeah.
Jackie Gator had a more decent career. Yeah. Then less said about that match she had with Trish, the better.
Yeah, but she did have a nice little thing with Rico, and she eventually retired to become a full-time mom.
Yeah, well, I'll give her that. She just wasn't a good wrestler, I'll just say. Good for her finding a good career path or good life after it, but still wasn't a good wrestler. And let's see, and then there was the other guy that was with John Morrison, who had medical issues, so I won't go into too much with that.
Yeah, I think he's still working on OVW. But not wrestling because of
yeah, him. And then Daniel Pewter, they just screwed him over because he tried to beat up Kurt Angle.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, Tough Enough winners don't do as much as a lot of the runner-ups or side people. Like Ryback was on a Tough Enough, and look where he's at now.
Yeah, I think Ryback was the first to do both that and the NXT when it was in that current form.
Yeah.
First form, I should say. Yeah.
Boogeyman was a tryout on Tough Enough, but got cut for line for his agent. He became more famous than most of the Tough Enough people.
Yeah, he's still around, I think, with Booker T's promotion down there in Texas.
Yeah. And obviously, Miz was a runner-up, and look where he is now.
Yeah, if I see that, never mind. Better not go there. Better not go there. But yeah, Chris, you got a point though. Yeah, I think Jim said it best a couple weeks back. It's probably best that you don't win Tough Enough.
Right.
Look what happened with Andy Levine.
Exactly. And although that runner up didn't do any, whoever the runner up was that with that didn't do much either, did he?
Yeah, I gotta say, in the three forms of Tough Enough we've seen, the MTV version, the first USA in this current run, current run is the worst one.
Makes me glad I'm not watching it, apparently.
I mean, the Stone Cold version, it was actually not that bad.
Well, yeah. Plus, it was always funny to... there's one Tough Enough person from that sort of made it afterwards, Cameron, despite what Austin said about her.
Yeah, she still sucks.
Well, yeah, but... she got notoriety, that's...
yeah. But at least that first and second MTV versions, those were actually decent enough. Especially for back in 2001 and 2.
Yeah.
I believe those two are on the network. The third one is not, I don't think. I don't know. Know about that.
Was the third one still on MTV or no?
Yes, it was.
Okay, it was the fourth one that was...
The fourth one was SmackDown only.
Yeah.
And then the first USA one is on the network, I think.
So they'll probably add the fourth one when they get to those SmackDowns eventually on the network, if they ever do.
I don't know. But I don't know, dude. Yeah, it's a shame what they turned the show into. They didn't need the whole hosting and this and that. No.
I think they were trying to make it interesting enough because they didn't. Correct me if I'm wrong. Do they show any of the actual physical training on the show or no?
Hardly.
Okay.
The only thing you really see is the challenges.
Hmm.
Some of the stuff that happened inside the barracks.
Okay.
Just maybe not even 5 minutes of in-ring training.
So that's the difference from the old Tough Enoughs. They actually showed training on the old ones. So,
yeah, they did.
And so I think that they wanted to try to get away from that because they wanted to make it seem like, well, if they're going to treat training and they still act this badly, what's the point, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm not a fan of this current run. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
Say your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, look, I really have not watched much of this entire run because it seems to me that this show doesn't mean anything in that respect. You understand what I mean? With shows like NXT and other stuff, you don't need shows like this. This was just filler to fill in stuff. But it's a success for WWE, and we're going to have another season of this.
Sadly, yes.
Okay. We're going to see it.
Yeah, you're right. At least they put up the extras on YouTube with some of the in-ring training.
Mm. Yeah.
So that is that. And it's all social. That's all that is. Okay. I think there was one bit of news to finish going over, Jason.
Yeah, and that would be our contractual obligation to TNA.
Blah.
Yeah, blah.
But some interesting things happening, though.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, they're taping ahead because they have to. Okay.
Only to October. Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, yeah. All the way to Bound for Glory, sadly. However, for the next couple of weeks, I don't know if you know about this, but and by the way, just a quick thing. Congratulations to Daniel Bryan. You are now a New York Times bestselling author.
Yes. Good. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And, speak, his book. And speaking of that, speaking of the Yes chance, some people are wondering if he should get some royalty checks for every copy of the next hockey game that's played. Since if you play in the Islanders arena, they're going to do the Yes chance.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Jason's a Rangers fan, so you wouldn't know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. How? But get this. Okay. Ring of TNA actually. Actually, their numbers went up because Ring of Honor was not their lead-in for the first time in a while. Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, and they and their numbers went up 343,000, 64,000 on the replay to 407. But their replay did 171,000 viewers, which was their third highest numbers to date, which is good. I mean, yeah. Of one showing. In other words, they've had 300,000 combined on two shows. But you understand what I mean. But here's the interesting thing. On some of the try this on for size, the TNA tapings have shown that yes, the GFW thing is an angle. Because on a taping recently, and I just need to put because I just need to pull this up, that the GFW stars have actually attacked other TNA stars.
Yeah, you're right. It has happened. Spoiler. There's also been a few title changes too.
One specifically. Yes, and the main event for Bound for Glory is going to be EC3 versus Drew Galloway, with Jeff Hardy as the special guest referee. Hardy is going to be forced into a role as EC3's personal assistant. Of course, EC3 is now the title holder. And Angelina Love is now expecting Davey Richards' baby because they recently got married. I wonder why. just saying. You know what I mean? It was pretty quick. Okay.
Yeah, it was. And there was an angle with her and others that actually reformed. Another spoiler.
Yes. James Storm also wrote that his appearance on last night's Impact was his final scheduled appearance with the company. So he goes, if he was trying, he goes, oh no, I'm not done wrestling, just working on a new saddle for a fresh horse.
Yeah, okay.
You know where that horse is going to be saddled up in?
Somewhere in Florida.
You think?
Perhaps. I don't know. Mm. Or maybe wherever the hell ROH is headquartered.
Well, let me ask you this. Where do you think James Storm's best fit would be?
Honestly, right now? Maybe a little while in ROH. Maybe start something with AJ.
Okay.
Or maybe Lethal.
Of course.
It wouldn't be the first time former TNA stars start crap with each other in ROH.
And you know what? That's not a bad thing. Because they are allowed to wrestle.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Yeah, we brought it up that you're taking an ROH show over all the stuff in New York City during SummerSlam weekend.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Which I'll give you the card as of now, which all right. I think is pretty. Let me see if I can find it because it's going to be called Field of Honor, which is August 22nd, the same time NXT TakeOver is being held at Barclays, which, by the way, 11,000... Oh, by the way, and of course, Ring of Rowdy did a stint of Ring of Honor as well. You know?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Just looking at it right now. You know. But, so, yes. The upcoming events, we have... It was the Aftershock tour, which is, yeah, Field of Honor. Here we go. We've got Mark and Jay Briscoe versus, versus the Time Splitters, which is Alex Shelley and Kushida. Okay. Mm-hmm. IWGP Heavyweight Champion Rainmaker Okada versus Roderick Strong, which is a huge match, by the way. The World and World TV Champion Jay Lethal and the King of Strong Style Shinsuke Nakamura versus Redragon, which is, I think, who is Redragon? That's Reed Dragon. That I just hold on a second. I know who that is. Just one second. I will find out. Thank you, Google Foo, please. That's Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. So that's going to be very cool. And the Killer Elite Squad, Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer, hello, versus War Machine, Hanson and Rowe. And the Addicts is supposed to be there, Michael Elgin, AGACH, Adam Cole, The Kingdom, Marine Roppongi Vice, Young Bucks, Matt Sydal, Moose, Donovan Dijak, Cedric Alexander, Adam Page, BJ Whitmer is injured, Dalton Castle, and Silas Young. So that will happen Saturday, August 22nd. 7:30, gates open at 6.
And where's that at over there?
That would be MCU Park, the home of the Brooklyn Cyclones. Not where I was at tonight, but it's a great place to see a wrestling show. Been there for the last 3 years.
Nice. Here. Very good. All right, I think that is going to be... I think that's it for the week, huh?
Yeah, it's a pretty big week.
We squeezed up a good bit of stuff tonight.
And I will just... Yeah, and I think Nikki will have her own thoughts on Rowdy Piper when she gets back next week.
Yeah, before we do plug a quick note here, Owens and Jericho this week in Ontario and Fresno, California, the live events.
Ooh, okay. Oh, boy.
Okay, you want to know next work thing? Get them to film that and put it on the network as an exclusive, like they did with that Sheamus U.S. title match against Rusev.
And then Dean Ambrose started doing Make-A-Wishes apparently too. So,
yes, well, I've seen that exactly.
Mm-hmm. Those crazy kids.
Indeed.
Well, no. But I like the fact that Ambrose is doing it. It's pretty crazy.
Oh, I am too. It's just I'm picturing him doing it in character and what Cap Iami might do if he ever found what they did on the shows.
Oh boy. All right, let's shill away. I'm going to start with Jason, of course, who's got a lot to talk.
Of course, Pixel Nation with Brian Henniger. We'll be back after a little bit of a week-long recess.
Happy late birthday.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair Swinging Freak. We are... Oh, man. I got to plug Jim stuff. Or at least this particular podcast, but holy smoke. This weekend, I think we're going to have a post-trade deadline edition. Holy cow, is baseball gone nuts or what? Seriously, right, Carl? I mean, nuts.
Yeah. Phillies finally got rid of Cole Hamels, for one.
Yes, Toronto is in it to win it with Tulowitzki and David Price. And Wilmer Flores of the Mets, he was traded. Then he wasn't traded. Then he hits the game-winning home run tonight, by the way, for the Mets.
Jesus.
In the 2-1 win of the night of the Nationals. Swear to God. True story. We'll have all recaps of all of that. Carl, I know you're going to plug BS.
Yes, I will in a minute. Go ahead.
I'm just trying to think of other shows that we
can RSBS?
Talk. Yes, RSBS. Thank you. Yeah. Nothing's really going on. We've got a major Republican debate this coming Thursday. We've got a Cecil the Lion distraction because I think that is a distraction story over what I think is the real big story, which is all those crazy Planned Parenthood videos. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's, crazy stuff. The Iran deal that no one likes except the president and John Kerry. This new Benghazi movie that's really got Hillary really worried and all that sort of stuff, and a bunch of other stuff. We'll talk about that and all the stuff you can hear on TuneIn Radio, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, Overcast, and CLW83.com. And of course, which we will plug, and if I may do so, this weekend coming up, a week from this weekend, in Las Vegas. The Trivia Championships of North America, Ticona.com, Ticona, will be happening. And, of course, the 24-hour game show marathon, which you can donate for Extra Life, which is a wonderful children's charity, which is going to be at Home Game Enterprises with a Z.com, which I am pulling up right now. And right now, as we speak... We are going to try and find how much it's for. I'm just trying to find it. It's 24-hour game show Marathon West, which is happening next week at Tacona, which is including also things like the Jeopardy simulator, 5x5, the trivia scavenger hunt, bar quizzes, and put it to you this way, all that good stuff that's going on. Okay.
There you go.
I'm just trying to find out how much the can you find out how much they're up to right now? Because their goal is 2,500. My computer's just
It was 900 something yesterday when I was checked. Chico would have that graphic on his Facebook, I think.
Okay.
While I look for that, I will plug real quick the BS Big Show. We did one this week to catch up on a lot going on in the National Football League, including the whole Brady suspension and why we think that it's not going to mean much of shit. I just have to finish putting it together. It'll be up probably sometime Sunday. Also, I'm going to plug what Jim's doing right now as we finish this. Our annual upload will be coming up this week of the Radio Racket guys doing their annual special. And as we speak, as we record this, they're doing it now, and I'm going to listen to them briefly before I go to sleep. With George, Diamond Joe, and Jim and calling and trolling, of course. But that'll be up. Radio Rackets 2015 special will be up sometime this week. All right. Chris, you plugged the paper review show earlier. Want to talk about it again?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to work on this. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to work on getting the rest of the ones up we've done. Pay-per-view review is where Nikki, Heyman, myself, and sometimes a guest get to go back in time and look at the pay-per-views on the WWE Network, as well as the Saturday Night Main Events and the Clash of the Champions. And we do a little commentary track over it, because this is the first time Nikki's seen most of these shows. We just recently finished recording WrestleMania 5, kind of timely, considering what's going on with Mr. Pipe, what went on with Mr. Piper just now. And we are looking next. Our next show will be Wrestle War 89, the last of the Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat world title matches, and the beginning of a new feud that will come up, but she doesn't know about that yet. I haven't told her, so that's going to be interesting. You can find it currently on tindeck.com/users/SlamWaters. And once I get all the embed codes and everything typed up, it might be actually seeing it on CLW83 if I remember to give it to Carl. And
yeah,
also,
if you remember.
Yeah, two jobs is not easy sometimes to
right,
remember
I got you.
Things. Mm-hmm. And also, I would like to plug something that we didn't talk about on the show. Remember, WWE 2K16 will have the Terminator in it as a playable character.
Yes, which I saw. By the way, have you seen the commercial?
I love that commercial.
Dean Ambrose is the cigar smoking guy that tries to burn Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
that's a T2 redo, is what it was.
Yeah, you can tell Arnie's getting old, but it must have been an honor for Dean to be able to do that.
Yeah, Nikki will talk more about that next week when she's back.
Yeah, I already know if they have the Attitude Era belt, I'm giving it to one of the Terminators because there's apparently going to be two of them in there. One for T1 and one for T2. I don't know how you'll tell the difference, but
they'll figure a way out.
And if they have the Attitude Era belt, I'm giving it to one of the Terminators and having him feud with Ambrose before it.
All right, Shane, you got anything to promote before we wrap a bow on this?
No. I'm just sorry I was gone, but when someone said 2K16, I instantly went and pre-ordered it.
Oh, there you go. All right, that's going to do it. Jason, thank you so much for helping for this week. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, put it to you this way. I mean, again, if we didn't have the story we had that broke earlier this Friday, this would have been a hard podcast to do,
yeah,
to be honest, because it was a really light week. But it just – it kills me that two of the biggest 80 stars are no longer with us. It really does.
In a 6 to 7 week span, yeah.
Oh, I mean – you know, and again, two cross-generational you know, because it's like, how many Piper lines do you know? Of course, you know, I kick ass and chew bubble gum and I'm all out of bubble gum, right?
Right.
And of course, Every time you think you know the answers, I change the questions. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, lines like that. It's just, I mean, Roderick Toombs was a tough bastard. He beat cancer. Remember, I don't know if you remember this. He had cancer. And he survived.
Yeah, died in 2006.
You know, but, sad thing.
Somebody mentioned this on the fan boards, by the way. They're hoping that with this incident with Piper, since he was so close to a lot of them, he's hoping that a lot of the wrestlers of that time period will actually start taking their time and getting their hearts checked and taking better care of themselves, seeing what happens. You never know.
Yeah. All right, and with that, it's time to go. Thanks to Jason. Thanks to Chris Waters for jumping on. I know it was kind of tough for you to get here, but I appreciate you helping me.
Not a problem.
And to you, Shane, thank you as always.
Not a problem.
I am Carl Chenier. Thanks for listening to what turned out to be a kind of hard show to do, but that's life. Nikki will be back in the chair next week on the most positive wrestling podcast on this network and elsewhere. Rest in power, Roddy. See ya.